Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from the 21st chapter of Luke's Gospel, verses 25 through 36. It is found on page 915 and 16 of your pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and upon the earth distress of nations in perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves, men fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, look up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. And he told them a parable. Look, as the fig tree and all the trees, as soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away till all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life, and that they come upon you suddenly like a snare. For it will come upon all who dwell upon the face of the whole earth. But watch at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that will take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Our second reading for this morning will come from the book of Jeremiah. We'll be reading from the 33rd chapter of the book of Jeremiah, verses 14 through 16. And it is found on page 683 of your pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. For in those days and at that time I will cause a righteous branch to spring forth for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord is our righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, who is my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. I was reading the other day an account about the life of Nelson Mandela, the South African freedom fighter who spent 27 years in a South African prison because of his work fighting for equal rights and equal opportunities in South Africa. He was asked how he was able to endure spending 27 years in prison, knowing of the possibility that he might never get out. And he essentially replied that he was able to endure it all because of his strong convictions. He believed deep down inside of himself that he would one day feel the grass under his feet. He believed that he would one day be free again, and not only would he be free again, but he knew deep down inside of himself that all of South Africa would one day be free. There is a word that describes what he's talking about, of course, and that word is hope. For 27 years in a dark prison cell, Nelson Mandela was a person who lived in hope. This is the first Sunday in the season of Advent, the four-week journey that we make in the darkness before we come to the Christmas light. One of the major themes of Advent is the theme of hope. Hope for a better life, for a better world, for a better future. A hope that can sustain us in the darkness and in the bleakest periods of our lives, when our spirits have been crushed and the future appears to be dead. That's the kind of hope that the prophet Jeremiah is trying to engender in us in our reading this morning. No one understood hope better than the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah had to proclaim a word of hope to the people of his day who were languishing deep in the bowels of Babylon. The prophet did not begin his career as a prophet of hope, but he began his career as a prophet of doom and gloom, proclaiming words of judgment against God's people. The time is coming, said Jeremiah, when God will bring judgment against the people because of their waywardness. God was going to bring judgment against the king, Zedekiah. God was going to bring judgment against the temple. God was going to bring judgment against all of Judah. And indeed, Jeremiah prophesied that one day the world as they knew it was going to come to an end. And that is exactly what happened. 600 years before the birth of Jesus, the Babylonians came down and they swept down on little Judah. Thousands and thousands of Jews were killed. The temple, the first temple that Solomon had built, was completely destroyed. All of the leading citizens were carried away captive into Babylon. It was a terrible event, a dark, dark chapter in the life of God's people. But it was in the midst of that terrible darkness that the prophet of doom and gloom became the prophet of hope. Jeremiah tells the people in the midst of that darkness that God has not forgotten them, that they are still God's people, that the darkness that they are experiencing is not the last word, but the last word belongs to their God. The days are coming, he tells them, when God will fulfill the promises that God had made to them and to their ancestors. The days are coming when God will restore their fortunes, when God will return them to their land, when they will live securely, and God will give them leaders who will execute righteousness and justice. God, the prophet reminds them, has the last word, and not the Babylonians. During the season of Advent, we are reminded that we too are called to be people of hope. We are called to be a people of hope, not because we believe there is no darkness in the world or darkness in our lives, but we are called to be people of hope for the very reason that there is darkness in the world and darkness in our lives. It used to be said that we Christians were somehow escapist, that we were people who didn't want to face up to the hard realities of the world and the pain and suffering that we find into the world, and we only wanted to escape, and that we had our heads buried beneath the ground to avoid the pain and suffering in the world. But that is certainly not true. We know as well as anyone the depths of human despair in our world. We know that right now, as we are gathered here this morning, that there are many, many people on the East Coast who have lost everything from Hurricane Sandy. Not just material things or sentimental things, but things that mean a great deal to most of us. Some have lost friends and families. Some have lost their lives. We know at this moment that there are tens of thousands of people around the world who are suffering from complications of AIDS. This Sunday is World AIDS Sunday, when we remember the ravages that that disease has caused, particularly in areas of the world who are not able to respond to that challenge in the ways that many industrialized countries have responded. Many of the people who have contracted AIDS are innocent women and children. Indeed, in places like Africa, many innocent children are the face of AIDS. We know that there are wars and rumors of wars and all kinds of conflict and strife. We know that there are thousands upon thousands of desperately poor and hungry people in the world. And some of us know at a very up close and personal level our own sense of darkness and despair. What separates us from the world around us is that we also know that none of these things have the last word. We know that the last word belongs to God. We know that the last word is God's promises to us, God's promise to give us a future, even when the future appears to be closed down. We are called to be people of hope, people of real hope, not hope in our own strength, not hope in our own technology, not hope in our economy, not hope in the strength of our nation, but hope in God, who is our only real hope. That is what this season of Advent is all about. It's about hope. It is about putting our faith and trust in God. Hope, of course, is a word that is bandied about a lot. We often hear politicians talk about hope, but we know that they don't have the real hope. We know that real hope only comes from God. But what does it mean to be a people of hope? What does it mean to be called God's community of hope? Well, one thing it means is that we are called to be a people who at every moment are expectant, pregnant with expectancy. We are called to be a people who are constantly watching and waiting on God to break into our world. We are called to watch and to wait on God to break into our darkness. It means that we never resign ourselves to the way the world is. I hear people all the time and they talk about keeping it real. We just want to keep it real. The world is a dark and nasty place. The world is a place where lots of bad things happen, but that's just the way the world is, and we've got to keep it real. We've got to keep it real in our neighborhoods, keep it real in our lives. Yes, we live in neighborhoods that are tough neighborhoods, but we just got to keep it real. Don't try to cover over everything. Don't dream of a better tomorrow. Don't dream of better neighborhoods. Don't dream of better communities. Don't dream of a better future. Just keep it real. But to be people of hope, to be a community of hope, means that we are never called just to keep it real. Nelson Mandela, in his prison cell, could have easily resigned himself to a life of darkness, but he didn't. He had hope that one day he would be free and hope that one day all of South Africa would be free. And so he lived that hope out even in that prison cell. He did not resign himself to the darkness. The Israelites could have resigned themselves to the prison of Babylonian captivity. They could have kept it real and said, you know, we once believed in God and trusted in God, but that was a long time ago. Now we are held captive in Babylon. But they didn't. Because of people like Jeremiah, they believed that one day God would restore their fortunes, and so they put their faith and trust in that, and they hoped in that, and they believed in that. And we too today are called to be vigilant. We are called to watch and to wait on God. We are called to have that deep longing inside of our heart, longing for God to break into our world. Sometimes that sense of expectancy and that sense of longing is difficult for you and for me because we live in a nation where we have so much. But there are many people who long for a better world. There are many people who are watching and waiting for something new to be done in our world. If you are someone who is hungry, you long for food. That's what you wait and watch for. You long for that. If you are homeless, you are watching and waiting and longing for shelter over your head. If you are suffering from injustice, you wait and long and pray for God to break into the world, for God's righteousness and God's justice to break into the world. There are many people today who live and long for God to do something new in our world. And we too are called to be a community who watches and who waits and who longs for God to break into our world. To be a community of hope means to watch and to wait on God. But I've noticed something peculiar about God, and maybe you've noticed it as well. I've noticed that whenever God acts in the world, he always seems to act through people like you and me. God always seems to accomplish God's purposes in the world through ordinary human beings. I don't know why that is. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that we are made in the image of God. Maybe it has something to do with the fact that we are called to reflect God's glory in the world. But that's the way that God acts. God always acts through human beings, through people like you and me. People like Noah, people like Moses, people like Abraham, people like Hannah and Mary. And indeed, when God decides to come into the world, to break into our world, to be Emmanuel with us and for us, God comes in a human being, just like you and me. Augustine once said that we without God cannot, and God without us will not. When God acts in the world, God acts through everyday, ordinary people like you and me. That's part of what it means to be righteous. Righteousness is not the attainment of some static quality, but righteousness is living our lives in accordance with the purposes of God. And if God's purpose is to one day do away with things like hunger, if God's purpose is to one day do away with violence and conflict, if God's purpose is to one day do away with sickness and disease, if God's purpose is to one day do away with poverty, if God's purpose is to do away with all of those things that are deadly, then to be people of hope means that you and I are called to live into that hope by giving our lives to those things in the here and in the now. That's what it means to be the light of the world. That's what it means for us to light these candles at Advent. To light these candles of Advent identify us as people of hope, people who live into God's purpose right now. Advent is a time of waiting. It is a time of watching. It is a time when we are called to wait on God, to watch for God, to be vigilant for God, to wait for God to break into our world. But I am also convinced that Advent is a time when we are reminded that God is waiting and watching us. God's waiting on you and me. God's waiting for us, too, to begin to move out of our despair, to move out of those places where we've grown comfortable, and to begin to live in to the promise and the hope that God has made available to all of us. That's part of what this season is about. It's not just about Christmas cheer. It's not just about singing carols. It's not even about just waiting and watching for God. But it's about moving out into the world because God is waiting on us. Part of the problem, I think, with the church today, the church around the world, is that we have forgotten what it means to be communities of hope. We have allowed the Babylonian realities to sink deep down inside of our hearts. We no longer know what it means to really hope anymore, to really dream anymore, to really use our imaginations to hope for a better world. We no longer are distinguishable from the world around us. We simply accept the realities and the definitions of the world. And then we wonder why the church no longer seems to be a place of hope for many, many people. But we are called to be the salt of the earth. We are called to be the light that shines in the darkness. We are called to be the Advent people, the people who recognize that our hope resides in a loving God, and that God has called us to be communities of hope. The prophet Jeremiah reminds us that the days are coming. The days are coming. God's days are coming. The days are coming when God, whoever you are, will restore our fortunes. The days are coming when we will be free from anxiety and strife. The days are coming when there will be no more division and no more hatred among us. The days are coming when we will be able to plant our trees and our vineyards and enjoy the fruit of our labor. The days are coming when there will be no more tears. The days are coming when there will be no more injustice, no more unrighteousness. The days are coming when we can be secure in our own land and in our own person. The days are coming because God has promised that. We can't bring those days on our own strength, but we know that they're coming because God has promised that. And our belief in that, our trust in that, our living into that is what marks us as people of hope, people who recognize and understand that God is our hope. Friends, as we continue to celebrate this season of Advent, as we continue to light the candles around the Advent wreath, Let us all remember that we too are called to be the lights of the world. We too are called to shine and to reflect God's glory out into our world, to be that community of light, that community of peace, that community of joy and love and hope that God has called us to be. Amen. Eternal God, we thank you for this time, and we thank you for this season when we are reminded that you have called us to be the light of the world. And that does not mean to be resigned to this world, but to reflect your glory back out into the world. Help us to live as communities of hope. Help us to be your people. Help us to know that despite all the darkness and the despair in our world, that you have promised that the last word belongs to you. The last word is your promise for all of us, the promise that you made available through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the promise to give us a future when the future appears to be closed down. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.